Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Let me even skip part of the text I was going to read. Let me go down to verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You may be seated. I want to preach today on the subject, accepted diagnosis, rejected cure. Accepted diagnosis, rejected cure. It's one thing when you go to the doctor to receive what he says when he tells you what your malady is, but it's quite another to say, all right, doctor, what should I do, and follow that. And when we look at the response to the of the carnal to the last mass shooting, and I quote, they said, we don't want your prayer, we want legislation. Prohibition has never been the answer in America. Didn't work for alcohol, hasn't worked for the war against drugs. The diagnosis of the world maladies are universally accepted. There's nobody, you can't find a politician that will not agree that America and the world is in serious, serious problem. The sicknesses that we experience are sicknesses that threaten the life and the existence of people all over this planet. Why are the symptoms so universally accepted, and the diagnosis is so universally accepted, but not the cure? Well, you cannot deny the pain. You can't deny the fact that there have been school shootings. You can't deny that there are people out of control. My message is exemplified the story in the Old Testament, the story of Asa, king of Judah. He was the third king of Judah, the fifth king of the house of David. The Bible said it this way, and Asa, in the 30th and 9th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord. The disease of anarchy and hatred and pain and murder and so many things are great in our land. But still people do not choose to seek the Lord. 2 years later, Asa, because he would not seek the Lord, was dead at 41 years of age. When we talk about the symptoms of what's going on in the world, the Bible classically describes it prophetically 2,000 years ago. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And these are the beginning of sorrow. He also said, now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, described the symptoms that we would be facing of the maladies of this world. We are living in a time of terrorism, a time of family killing family. The news is almost unbearable. I don't know whether you are like this or not, but in the Bible, Goshen was a place where the Israelites lived when they were slaves. And all the plagues that came to Egypt did not come to Goshen, and so they escaped all those plagues. I find myself much like that. If it were not for social media and television, I would not even know the problems this world is facing, because my life is so blessed that when I turn on the television and see what's happening in this nation and what's happening around the world, I realize that we are in serious, serious problem. Those are the national and the world symptoms that Jesus described. Paul describes them as personal symptoms. He said, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fearest, despisers of those that are good. Oh, I'm not through. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, for such turn away. Those are the personal anguishes that people suffer among their families and in their personal life. And Paul described them 2,000 years ago. Those are the real symptoms of the disease that is around the world. David talked about the personal anguish that we all can feel. And many people do feel that and never find an answer. David said, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. All of these are the symptoms and the problems and the anguish and the pain that people are feeling, both in a universal spectrum and personally. People are feeling the pressure. We have invented now a phrase that's literally called the misery index. I'm not sure what that is because I don't have one and I don't want to buy one. But they now have a misery to describe how miserable you are. And yet people realize that there is a sickness, there is a malady. But when we talk about the cures, they simply cannot locate what it is. They talk about legislation, more money for every problem. They told us that things would get better as we became more sophisticated, but it did not happen. These are the cures that the world is offering. They said that if we become educated, we will do away with violence. That certainly has not been the case. Paul, writing to Timothy, said they will be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. They told us if we would destroy poverty, that we would not have any violence and we would not have any pain. But the truth is, those that are prosperous and those that are wealthy without God have just as much anguish as those that are in poverty. Paul wrote again to Timothy, he said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. They told us if we become intellectual, if we become very intelligent, all of these problems would be solved. But the Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. They told us that the wisdom of this world would solve our dilemmas. But the Bible said your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Job described it this way. He said, you are physicians of no value. The truth is, the more we strain to solve our problems from natural sources, the worse the situation becomes. There is a true cure for the world problems. And you're set in a place today that has that cure. The Bible tells us what it is. A good place to start would be put the Ten Commandments back in the schoolhouse and back in the courthouse. That would be a good place to start. A better place would start would be to adhere to the words of Jesus Christ when he said, love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is, like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he said this, on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. The truth is, the reason why the world is having the sickness, the malady, the violence, and the problem it has is because they have forsaken the living water and hewn out their own cisterns, as the prophet said in the Old Testament. The truth is that the church of the living God is not offering a solution, that we have become, as preachers and pastors and church leaders, physicians of no value. Because the truth is, we tell everybody they're fine just like they are. As long as you attend the church and as long as you pay the bills, you'll be fine. But the truth is that the Apostle Paul said, I could come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. Because the Apostle Paul was not only the most intelligent man in the church, he was one of the most intelligent, educated minds of his time. And so he said, I strain to come to you, not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. In fact, he said, I am determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he said, my speech is not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. It would entice men. It would draw crowds. And that's what we are very concerned about today, is drawing crowds and filling great cathedrals. And Paul said, My words are not to entice men, but they are in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit. But he would write also that the carnal mind cannot understand the spiritual things. God has not chosen the things that are carnally accepted to save the world. He has chosen spiritual things, because if he were to base it on intellect, it would not be fair. Only those with a certain IQ could be saved. Only those with a certain educational background could come to Christ. But he made this a common gospel to the common man, that whosoever believeth would receive. And there is a true cure. Paul talks about the power. What is the power? The Bible said it's the preaching of the cross. I'm determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that God's got a plan. And that plan is that the church of the living God is going to be reinvigorated. It's going to be re-empowered. It's going to be rebaptized. We're going to stir up the gift. We're going to preach again, not the vain philosophies of man, but we are going to preach the power of the cross. When Jesus Christ went to that cross, he took the sins of the world and nailed them to that tree. And when he rose out of that grave, he had conquered sin, disease, hell, and the grave. And yet, in the face of all of our problems and all of our pain, the world will not accept the cure, only the diagnosis, only saying that we are sick, but we don't know what the answer is. Well, I'm here to tell you what the answer is. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that life is in the blood, that the power of life is in the blood, that forgiveness is in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why the Bible said, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When you come into this church building, if you are a person of normal intelligence or above normal intelligence, and you have a normal education, if you are to judge in the natural, you'll say, this is just not necessary. But folks, we did not get this from a denomination. This was not handed down by religion. God's plan came from the very heart of God himself. And God's plan is to redeem every man from the curse. And Jesus Christ took a crown of thorns upon his head, emblematic of the curse of this world, saying, I will take the curse for you. This world is under a curse, but praise God, because I have come to Jesus Christ. I've accepted his death, his burial, his resurrection. That is the power of the gospel. Jesse Duplantis told me the other day, he said, Steve, I'm surprised when I hear so many of our television preachers preaching how little gospel they preach and absolutely no faith. And it's true. If you will listen to them, they talk about a lot of platitudes. They talk about a lot of enticing words of man's wisdom. But we don't hear a lot about the old rugged cross. We don't hear a lot about the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't hear much about the power of God. And the demonstration of God has been removed from the church of the living God. When you come into this place and you see us get happy in the Lord, you say, I'm not sure that's necessary. The truth is, it's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. We have now escaped the dilemma and malady of this world, not by our own intellect, not by education, not by money, not by the position we hold in this world, but we have escaped by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the glory of the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, and more, I want us to adhere to the things of God, avail ourselves to the word of God and not the things of this world. The preaching of the cross is the cure for the sickness of this world. We must preach him, seen of angels, resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit, this one called Christ. He is the hope of the world, and the only hope of this world is Jesus Christ. There is none other. We, even those that have now adhered doctrinally to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, do no longer really make it and stress it to be important in their congregation. One of the great churches in America, which is doctrinally identical to what we believe in this church, their assistant pastor told me less than 10% of our church have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they have 30,000 members. 3,000 out of 30,000 is simply not good odds. Ladies and gentlemen, we need the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God, we have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given of God. But ye shall receive the power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This is not a church unless the cross is preached, unless the Holy Spirit is entertained. It's simply another social meeting. It's simply another class from an extended college somewhere. We must be a church that preaches Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That holy blood. He took our place at Calvary and He died. The only hope for America is for the church of the living God to get on fire. We cannot be nominal. We cannot be denominationalized. We cannot be normal. We must be the people the Bible describes in the book of Acts that turn the world upside down. The only hope of America is churches like Living Way to get on fire and to begin to preach Christ and Him crucified and demand, not tolerate, but demand that the Holy Ghost be in our services. You say, I don't understand it. It's because we try to discern it with the natural mind. The remedy for this world will never be understood by the natural mind. I don't understand why people worship. That's because you're looking at it with the natural mind. I don't understand why people praise God like they do. It's because you're looking at it with the natural mind. But when you get into the Word of God and God begins to reveal to you what is the will of the Holy Spirit, you'll begin to understand that we were all sinners, and the blood of Jesus Christ washed us white as snow. Praise God, we were cleansed of our sin. You see, a blood disease makes you thirsty. When you have a blood disease, you really get thirsty. We had a blood disease. David had that blood disease. He said, my spirit is like a deer looking for a brook to drink water. He said, my soul runs nigh, refuses to be comforted. It runs in the night. It will not be comforted. What is it? Something has to happen to you. This is not an intellectual experience. This is not shaking the preacher's hand. This is coming to God, getting down on your knees, repenting of your sin, and saying, God, cleanse me of my sin. Take my sin away, and the blood of Jesus Christ will wash you white as snow. Jesus talked about that everlasting water. Praise God. We cannot be like the modern day Asa, King Asa. We cannot be diseased and not seek the Lord. The only answer is that we seek the Lord. We seek His Word. We seek His Spirit. We seek His power. Only faith in God can cure the sickness that this world has. To believe that God is, not was, but He is right now. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He has not diminished in power. He has not gone away. He's ever present. The church of the living God must awaken themselves like a modern day Samson and say, I will not sleep in these times. What can I do? I can't change legislation. I can't stop school shootings. Oh, yes, you can. When the church of the living God becomes the church, America will change. We've got to accept not only the diagnosis, but we've got to embrace the cure. And the cure is that if we will pray and humble ourselves, then will we hear from heaven and God will heal our land. Say, where does it start? It needs to start in the pulpit of Living Way. It needs to start in the front row of Living Way. It needs to be in the back row of Living Way. If just this group of people in this building would get such on fire that everybody that you come in contact with would notice a radical change in you and begin to question why you like you are, it would become contagious. It would affect Bear County. It would affect San Antonio. It would sweep South Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we become true worshipers of Almighty God. You've got to recognize that our children are going to hell, that there's an opioid crisis, that people are dying every day. The statistics that are turned out every day across our television screens are staggering. The people that are dying from so many various causes, and the world has no hope. The White House has no hope. The schoolhouse has no hope. But friend, the church house has to be a place of hope, and we cannot do it simply by quoting poetry and giving nice lessons. We've got to become empowered. We've got to be set on fire. We've got to become true worshipers. We've got to have the power of God inside of us. You've got to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Every member of Living Way Church ought to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. And you should not just be filled one time. You need to renew yourself every day. Every day you need to pray through to the Holy Ghost. When you go out in that school, you're going to be a flaming fire. When you go out on your job, you're going to be a flaming fire. We are the cure. We're the only hope the world has. We cannot sit on our hands. We have to show forth the praise of God. We have to become lively stones. It's time that we pray through until we cannot be normal, but we are abnormal. We can't be natural. We are supernatural. We need the power of God to be in us, to be in this church. We cannot just be another church in San Antonio. There are thousands of them that are not getting the job done, but we cannot criticize them if we are like them. We must be empowered with the Holy Ghost. Do you really know what it is to feel God's power not only come on you, not only thrill you, but get inside of you until you can't contain yourself? I've thought all week, Brother Green, about the Holy Ghost on you. When I was preaching Wednesday night and the power of God came on him, he could not sit in that pew. The power of God struck him down. Ladies and gentlemen, we need an upper room experience. We need an empowering experience. This world is sick, and they're looking for a doctor, and their doctors have no cure. But we have the cure. I know what it did for me. I'm not a normal person. I'm abnormal. I've been changed. I've been transformed. I must share that gospel with the world. I must tell this world there is hope, there is help, that there is a God that loves, there is a God that cares, there is a God that saves, there is a God that delivers, there's a God that heals, and that God is in this building. Ladies and gentlemen, we have not come to our finest hour yet, but we're near. We're near to our finest hour. We need to rise up. We need to rise up and declare the power of the living God. Christianity is not a philosophy. It's a transforming experience. It's not a religion. It's a supernatural encounter with our Creator. David said, "My soul ran in the night, and I could not be comforted. I just could not." But then he said, "I finally realized what changed me." He said, "The presence of the living God changed me." That's the reason why he became a praiser that praised seven times a day. Ladies and gentlemen, you are on the precipice of being a world changer. Your family is waiting on you. If you don't do it, your family's going to hell. If you don't do it, your friends are going to hell. They're waiting on you and they don't even know it, but you know it. God has called you out of a dark place into a bright light. He's called you out of death into life. You cannot sit there and be Laodicea. You've got to rise up and say, "Let me tell you, something happened to me that changed me forever. It took away my pain. It solved my anguish. It delivered me from my addictions. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. The power of the living God has changed me forever." Church of the living God, can I motivate you? As I said a while ago, I can't command you to do anything, but let me motivate you to embrace the love of God shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. Let me motivate you to become a person of prayer. Let me motivate you to become a person of praise. Let me motivate you to become a disciple. These signs shall follow them that believe. We haven't seen that fulfilled like God wants to fulfill feel it yet, but it's coming. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to have healing crusades in the last day. It's simply going to be you going to a hospital to visit your friend and them being healed when you prayed for them and getting their clothes on and following you out the door. That's the revival that's coming. That's what God is asking for His church. He's not asking for a few television preachers to be healers. He's saying these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall heal the sick. They shall raise the dead. They shall cast out devils. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a cure, but we have to embrace it. It's not programs pepping people. It's not philosophy. It is the living gospel. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's people on fire. It's people that can't sit down. It's people that are praisers that have to praise God. They simply can't help themselves. They praise God wherever they are. They don't only praise God in the church. They praise Him in the firmament of His power. They make a spectacle of themselves on the church and in the church and in the world. And the world knows that there is something different about them. This world is looking for answers and they simply can't find it. The college professor doesn't have it. The president doesn't have it. The senator doesn't have it. And most preachers don't have it. I have been acquainted with several people that have come to this church and they were sent here by preachers that were honest, that would say, I simply don't know. But if you will go to that church, they know. Last election, we had somebody standing in a line waiting to vote at the polling place. And they got to talking about the fact that they had family that was demon-possessed. And they found out that the person they were talking to was a preacher. And they asked him about demon possession in the polling place. And he said, I don't know anything about it. I just know it's real, but I don't know how to get the devil out of people. But he said, if you'll go down to that church on the highway called Living Way, he said, they specialize in demon possession and casting out devils. Oh, friend, I want our power to match our reputation. Do we really cast out devils? Do we really heal the sick? Do we really save the lost? Do we really liberate the bound? We are the answer for the world today, the church of the living God. But we can't do it by being like other churches and nominal Christians. We got to rise up. You've got to get a prayer life or your family's going to be lost. You've got to become a praiser or the diseases are going to remain. You've got to get on fire or the addictions are going to stay. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, there is a generation that is sick, that is looking for a healing, and the world has absolutely no solution but the church of the living God. We must have the answer. America's in the greatest trouble I've ever seen it in my 70 years on this planet. And friend, it's not going to happen by voting in a new candidate. It's not going to do it by simply draining the swamp. What we need is the church of the living God to come alive, to show them what real love is, to show them what real unity is, to show them what anti-racism is, to show them what anti-bigotry is, what the love of God is, how to love one another. We don't care about your pay stub. We don't care about your ethnicity. We don't care about any of that. You are a soul made in the image of Almighty God, and you deserve the love of God. You deserve the bath in the blood of Jesus. You deserve a trip to Calvary. You deserve a Holy Ghost experience in the upper room. You deserve a healing. You deserve a deliverance, and God is able to do that. My preaching is not the enticing words of man's wisdom, but it's the power and the demonstration of the Spirit. I'm praying, I'm believing God that the anointing is going to increase. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. What I am praying, that while Pastor Brandon, Pastor Steve, Pastor Matt, whoever we've got in this pulpit, while they speak these words, that the AIDS is healed, that the heart condition is healed, that the drug addiction is broken. I am praying for the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I believe it's real. I believe He's a real Savior. I believe He's a real baptizer. I believe He's a real deliverer. I believe that God is in this building on a Sunday morning, and I don't believe there's a problem in this building that's too big for God. I believe that God is more than able. I believe He's able to save you to the uttermost, heal you of any disease. If the doctor's given up on you, you need to appeal to Jesus Christ. He is the divine healer. We are the cure for this nation. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I've been preaching on Wednesday night, and I will continue this Wednesday night. This Wednesday night, I'm going to talk about the supernatural harvest of praise. But I believe that when people begin to praise God, if they truly worship God, everything else follows. They begin to repent of their sins. They become empowered supernaturally. They begin to love God. They love people. Church, I believe that we're rising to a new level. We thank God for where we are. We thank God that we can buy new television equipment, state of the art, and never have to come to you and appeal. We can just write a check because we are very, very, very strong in how we take care of God's money in this church. And so we always have the money for what we want to do. I've got friends that they like to brag about how much they have come in. And then every time they want to do a project, they got to go to the people and have a fundraising project. There's something wrong with that picture. They claim they're taking in all those millions. They shouldn't have to do that. But do we thank God for that? But that's not enough. What we need more than just saying we're satisfied with the status quo. Say, thank you, God, for this highway. Thank you for this building. Thank you for a building full of people. Thank you for the thousands of people that come. Thank you for the money that's given. Thank you for the equipment. Thank you for the wall. Thank you for the television equipment. Thank you, Lord, for all of that. But that, God, is not really what we're about. What we want more than anything else is the power of the Holy Spirit to fall in this building like rain until the Holy Ghost comes up on you and you can't sit there. You have to praise God. And when you get home, your unsaved kids that are too old to make to come to church feel the glow of God on you, and they follow you back to church on Wednesday night and get their life in order and get saved. We need the transformation of the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Every time we come in these doors, somebody ought to get saved. Somebody ought to get the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to repent. Somebody ought to get baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Somebody ought to get out of their sickness and declare, I've just been healed. While he was preaching, the word of God was sent and it healed me. We need the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I cannot do it by myself, but praise God, you and I can do it together. When we join together, we're a force that the devil can't stop. Will you become a prayer? Will you get a prayer life? Will you become a praiser? Will you become those that are strong in the Holy Ghost? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you? Stand on your feet and give God praise right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Itoko shanala mahalalaboria. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm an enigma among my pastor friends. Got two sons and they're both saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Daughter-in-law saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Two grandchildren saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. But my friends, so many of them, when I talk to them, their daughters are pregnant and unmarried. They won't come to church. Their sons are on drugs. They want nothing to do with church. Say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. They knew what the diagnosis was, but they didn't keep that cure forever there. It's forever there with me. Oh, friend, have you ever been healed? I'm healed every day. Every day, every day. I don't believe God's through with me yet. And so every day I pray for my body. Say, God, make me strong. Make me as strong as if I was 35 years of age. I still believe that God has put this church on the freeway and has raised this congregation and me and Pastor Brandon and Becky and Mandy. I believe God's raised us up, not just to build a great church, but He has raised us up to affect a nation with preaching the truth of the gospel. Not a watered-down version, not a accepted social philosophy, but the power of the gospel, the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, the power of the uncompromised word. People getting saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, living like they ought to live, getting off of drugs, getting away from alcohol, getting one wife, one husband, raising a family for God. Ladies and gentlemen, this nation has a real need, and it's a need for the church of the living God to rise up and be the church. I volunteer, Jesus. I volunteer. I am nothing, God, but you've used nothings throughout the history of mankind to change generations. And so I present myself as a nothing in your hands today, God. Anoint me. Let people get healed when I preach. When I touch people, let people get healed. When I speak, let people get saved. When I talk, let the Holy Ghost fall. Let there be a rumble of God. Let there be a wind of God. Let there be a baptism of God. Let the Holy Ghost fall in this place. Let it be filled with the glory of Almighty God. Is there anybody else in this church that would give their nothing to God and saying, God, here I am. See, it's a wonderful thing when you're nothing. If you're something, God has to work around it. But when you're a nothing, God can fill that nothing and overflow it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, God, to anoint her as a holy woman of God. Lord, put an anointing.